Dear fellow redeemed, grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text which will serve as the basis for the sermon this evening is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Please rise. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. These are your words, O Lord. We ask that you would sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. A Lutheran pastor, a seminarian, and a Jehovah's Witness walk into a laundromat. There's a joke there somewhere, but I'm not sure where. For me, this actually happened. While my supervising pastor was doing laundry, this Jehovah's Witness walked up to me and he asked one of the most dangerous questions. What's your favorite Bible passage? And it's really hard for me to choose a single one because all scripture is God-breathed, living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. But this one came to my mind first, and so this is what I told him. It's Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The Jehovah's Witness could not accept that. Immediately he started saying, saved by works through faith. And I kept telling him, no. It's pretty clear, saved by grace through faith. But this teaching, that we are saved by grace, not by any works that we have done, is foreign to all the religions of this world. Christianity is a religion unlike any other. All other religions are works-based. They focus on what you must do to be saved. Christianity does not focus on what you must do, but on what Christ has done for you. Salvation is not of works, lest anyone should boast. This is a great truth for us, but it goes against the teachings and the understanding of many different religions and cultures, even of our own. We have the American dream, where if you work hard enough, you put in the effort, you'll get that house you wanted. You'll get the job you've wanted. You'll get the car that you've always wanted. You'll have success in life because of what you have done and your efforts. And while this may work in the world, it does not work before God. And this notion is not just found in the American dream, it's found in all the false religions of this world. The Norse pagan religion taught that if you fought hard enough, you could get salvation and enter into Valhalla. Jehovah's Witnesses teach that the only way you receive salvation is through your works. Even in Buddhism, through good works, you are rewarded with either release from samsara or with a better reincarnation to go at it next time and do more good works. All of these religions may sound very different from one another, but they all lead to the same place, and they all focus on what you have to do. I'm sure if you took religion classes here at Bethany, you've heard this phrase being thrown around. There are two religions in this world, Christianity and everything else. And it is because of this distinction that Christianity focuses on what Christ has done on the cross for you, taking all of your sins upon himself and paying for them with his holy, precious blood. It is a gift for us and a blessing that Christianity has this truth. It would be absolutely terrifying if anything I did contributed to my salvation. Our human nature, it causes us to sin daily. If even one day of my life contributed to my salvation and I had to live one holy day, I would be condemned to hell. The Bible is very, very clear on this. We cannot save ourselves. We are born dead in our trespasses and sins. No man in heaven can boast that he got himself there. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And to make it even worse, no one can even come to God on their own. If it was up to us, we'd be like a dead animal on the side of the road. I don't know about you. I've never seen a dead animal get up, decide to come to life, and follow God. That is what we are from birth, dead in our trespasses and sins. And the Apostle Paul spells this out very clear for us. He states our condition. He says, "You are dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Though God, in his infinite love for each and every one of you, does not leave you just to be children of wrath, destined to condemnation. Because we cannot come to God, we are born dead. We cannot earn salvation on our own. God came into this world to do it for us. He gives us the gift of faith and of spiritual life so that we are no longer dead, but alive in Christ. Christianity is different from every other religion because of this. Christ, God himself, came into this world for you. If you had to think of, you know, Bible passages that really summarize what the gospel message is, usually for me, this one comes to mind, and John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." These two Bible passages show very clearly Christianity is not about what you need to do to enter into heaven, but on what God has done for you. Take comfort in this wonderful message that you have this gift of salvation through faith. There's not a single thing you have to do in order to be saved. It's all been done for you by Christ. There's not a one day that you have to live a holy and perfect life and then you get into heaven. Jesus did that in your place, and he gives you his perfection through faith. Yes, we strive to live holy lives on this earth, but not because we need to in order to get into heaven. We do it out of thankfulness to God and out of love for our neighbor. The Apostle Paul, in the next verse, points this out very clearly. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God not only gives us salvation as a free gift, but he gives us the strength to do good works. And we don't even have to go out and seek good works to do. He prepares them beforehand for us to walk in them, that we may show his love to others in this world. It is by grace that you have been saved. You know, growing up and going to Sunday school, I always got to hear the wonderful Sunday school definition of what grace is: God's undeserved love. And it shows perfectly that there's nothing in me, there's nothing in you that is deserving and earning of God's love. There is not some special characteristic that we have that makes us saved. Rather, it is because God loves us, not because of anything we have done, just purely out of his goodness, his grace, his love, that we are saved. And this faith that we have in our hearts that holds on to this gospel message of salvation is also a gift from God. It's nothing from us. He sends the Holy Spirit into our hearts to create new life in us through word and through the sacraments. And in our baptism, he places his name on us so that we all may know we are his own dear child. You never have to wonder if your sins are forgiven. You can take a look at the cross and see Christ there paying for your sins. You can return to your baptism and remember that all of your sins have been washed away. Your sins are forgiven. There is no religion like Christianity. This chapter of Ephesians is a wonderful, wonderful gospel chapter. Earlier in the verses, Paul writes, "And you he made alive who were dead and your trespasses and sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God's love is infinite. His grace is rich toward us. No matter what sins you have committed, even those ones that weigh on your heart and your mind and that make you wonder if you were even going to go to heaven, they have all been paid for. Every single sin that you have committed is finite. There's a certain number of sins you've committed, but God's love is infinite. God's forgiveness is infinite. His grace abounds much, much more than our sins. What God has revealed to us in Scripture regarding our salvation is true because God's word stands true for all eternity. May you be comforted and strengthened in your faith daily through this gospel message, knowing that salvation is not of yourselves, but a gift of God. No other religion can offer this comfort. No other religion can offer this certainty. No other religion has this amazing display of love for each and every one of you. God desired for each and every one of us to be made alive and to live with him in heaven and in the resurrection forever. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And this promise is yours through faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. On our final day, when we are reunited with the Lord, we will boast, not in ourselves, but in our almighty, merciful, and loving God. May we be strengthened and comforted in this gospel message of salvation, forgiveness, and love. Amen.